Hi, everybody. Thank you for your support as always. The NARCCon podcast is now offering a membership only subscription of the price of a cup of coffee per month for all new and some of the old podcasts going into the membership section. Please join us if you'd like more of this content. We would love to see you there. And to remind you, should you wish to avail of the free content, it is available over on YouTube in both video and podcast form. God bless everyone. Take care, and I hope you enjoy the content that's to come. Hello, everybody, and you're very welcome to our channel, NARCCon. Today, we're going to discuss a very unusual subject, and I don't think I've covered it before. We're going to look at what's known in our community as the dark empath. And you don't actually think that those two words would marry together well. So we're going to get into what exactly is a dark empath. Do you think you're a dark empath? And how that title or personality differs from the narcissist, and how it matches in some ways on the outside the way a narcissist might behave. So it's another interesting deep dive into our interactions with narcissists and their interactions with ours, and where the line crosses, and who we are when we come out of these relationships, and why we are the way we are. So I hope it gives a better and deeper understanding to provide a huge expedition, if that's a word, it's probably not, to expedite healing. So who is the dark empath? I remember when I saw this term being fascinated by it, because I thought that doesn't make sense. The dark empath is a person who has a high degree of narcissism. It's a healthy narcissism, but it can be quite extreme when the empath is threatened or sees somebody else being threatened. And that's why and where some of the darkness comes out in a person that you don't expect it to. But it is not the overriding component of the person's personality. The survivor narcissism is a must for an empathic person who has been subjected in early life to a narcissistic parent or a narcissistic upbringing. There is a choice that is made at some stage in the child's development to either accept the pain that empathy brings to them or to reject it altogether and become a narcissist. When we don't reject the pain, when we allow ourselves as a child to feel the pain and have the courage to go forwards in developing our own sense of self-worth, even if we have to fight for it, I call that survival narcissism. Because you're under attack by a narcissist, you need to develop a defense strategy, and you don't develop narcissism, you hold on to empathy, and you go forward, often becoming very rebellious and not fitting in to the narcissist's rules and regulations, because I think there's this instinctual fear that if you do, you will lose yourself totally. And I think that that's a very real and valid fear. So this person who develops out of such an upbringing, and it can happen in other ways as well throughout later life or with a dastardly encounter with a narcissist in adulthood, that in order to survive, if you don't delve into your ego and your healthy narcissism and stand up for yourself and put boundaries in and put yourself first for once, then you are lost, basically. Now, the person who's had to go through this type of a survival comes out on the other side of this with a very clear-cut and necessary ruthlessness in defending themselves, because they've literally been to the dark side and seen what the dark side is like, lived in the dark side for a while and actually outwardly then rejected it because it was not for them. That's the easiest way I can say it. So you have the capability in you, like all human beings do, to be dark and to go dark and to do dark things. But the dark empath also carries empathy, which is the crucial component of humanity, in my opinion. Who is the narcissist then? The narcissist is the person or the child that chose to form a fake identity, a false self, not to develop empathy and to create a fantasy world where they were the superior hero and would always remain so throughout life, and that they would destroy, steal and kill other people in order to maintain that fake identity. That's as simple as I can put that in just a few sentences, because I want to get into why sometimes the dark empath can look like the narcissist and why sometimes the dark empath can feel like the narcissist, and why sometimes the dark empath can totally understand the narcissist's modus operandi. And I say that from a personal point of view, as I would consider myself to be one, and that's a big admittance, and I hope you don't take it against me. I know after a lot of self-reflection that I have empathy, thank God. I can't bear cruelty to human or animal, and it was a deep dive to understand after being with a narcissist and coming out the other side, and, you know, having kindness and all of the good qualities criticized and used against one can turn in adult life somebody into a very narcissistic way of living and become embittered. Thankfully, that didn't happen. Thankfully. So what I will say to you is I have a lot of insight into how a narcissist thinks. I chose not to go there. So I hope this resonates, this truth resonates with you, and you can feel in some way comforted and supported by it. Let's get into the differences between the dark empath and the narcissist. If you have any worries as to you thinking you're the narcissist or the narcissist on the way out or in the relationship telling you you're a narcissist because they couldn't control you when you started to put boundaries in. Okay, so the first thing that the dark empath and the narcissist both like and need is a high level of control in relationships. What and how does that differ? Let's do the empath first. The empath has grown up learning how to survive a narcissist at some point in their lives. So they're very vigilant, not hyper-vigilant, but they're very vigilant about the level of control they would have in the relationship in order to feel safe. So they're kind of patrolling sometimes, and tell me if you did this, subconsciously, to believe that they are loved and to seek love and to mull over love, basically to have a good look at how they're being loved and to note things in the back of the brain. Tell me if you did this in the relationship, to know something was off, to know something wasn't right, but not to act on it immediately, but to store it in the back of one's brain as a little virus alert, basically. So empaths do need quite a level of control and will always be analysing, not like sitting down at night analysing, oh, what they did today and all this kind of stuff, but will in the background be analysing the overall impact of the relationship. Now, that doesn't mean that if they decide the relationship's bad, they'll leave, because with empathy, they're going to stay and try and work it out. But it doesn't mean that they're stupid. It means that they do know what's going on at the back of their minds, but they want to give it the best chance possible because they actually do feel love for the other person. Now, the narcissist wants control because they don't want the equality that the empath is looking for. And the empath is patrolling for equality in the relationship subconsciously. The narcissist wants dominance in the relationship. The narcissist needs to control the trajectory of everything in order to feel superior and in order to get their needs met, putting in the least amount of effort possible in order to get their needs met. Aka narcissistic supply is supplied to them, and their partner or their family member or their workmate believes in the false mask. So the narcissist has to control everything to make sure they're going to continue to be fed, because narcissistic supply is literally their life force. Whereas the empath could go away and live quite well alone. Number two, power. To an empath, or the dark empath, or whatever level of empath you would like us to discuss today, power is very important, because the empath knows that if they have personal power, they have freedom, and they have freedom to do good, and they have freedom to make a difference in the world. So the ego does seek power, and often you'll find dark empaths in leadership roles, but they will be very good leaders because they actually care about the role that they're in. They're not in the role just for power's sake. The narcissist, I know you've guessed it. The narcissist needs power for dominance. The narcissist needs to steal, kill and destroy in order to get their needs met. The narcissist manipulates through kindness and the appearance of being a good person only if it's going to get their needs met. But what they're about in relation to the power is so that they're never going to be without narcissistic supply. So the more power they have in a situation, the more people they have running to them and doing their bidding. And I'm sure that makes sense. Number three, and this is one you might go, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that, Paula. Both dark empath and narcissist manipulate. The dark empath won't manipulate in a loving relationship with normal people. But the dark empath has learned the art of manipulation by their experience with a former narcissist. So if manipulation is required, i.e. they're dealing with a narcissist, say, for example, in a divorce situation, it would be stupid in one way of them not to use manipulation when you're dealing with a manipulator. Somebody else, like a narcissist, who's going to attempt to manipulate the situation, in my opinion, needs to be fought with the same sword, with the same weapon, in order to have any traction in the negotiations, basically. The dark empath will manipulate if they feel it is necessary from a sense of justice and rightness to do so. Now, you can say to me, well, the narcissist justifies manipulation and justifies everything that they do. And yes, they do. But what the narcissist does is lack accountability and lack responsibility for what they're actually doing in the manipulation, and blame it on a falsehood of the other person being to blame for them having to do what they're doing. So you might get a narcissist, say, who's cheated, and you want to leave the relationship because of that. The narcissist will then say, you broke the relationship because you didn't love me and I had to be with somebody else. So I'm going to go for you. I'm going to take the house off you and the children off you and do all this and manipulate the situation, because they're falsely justifying their manipulation. Now, I won't go down to another rabbit hole with that, but I hope you get what I mean. So the dark empath is capable of manipulation. The dark empath knows what manipulation is, because the dark empath has learned the language of manipulation on the Duolingo course the narcissist taught them, particularly in childhood. But how they use it is different and for different reasons. So, you know, just to add in here, people often will watch a strong individual appear to be narcissistic without knowing the full background to the situation and think, oh my goodness, they're treating their ex-partner very coldly, not knowing that that dark empath had been dealing with a narcissist. And because the dark empath has the ability to shut down and to do what is necessary, to do the dirty part of what is necessary, they can sometimes appear to be cold and calculating and ruthless. And they won't always explain why they're doing what they're doing. So there is definitely a level of confusion around their actions sometimes. Number four, darkness. You know, a person who has empathy, who has been exposed to darkness, and again, I will speak for myself, is often curious as to, what do I choose? What route do I choose? Because the easier route sometimes is to go into the darkness of the narcissist and to live an egotistical, materialistic life where there's a lack of accountability, there's lack of responsibility, and there's destruction, there's drama, and there's interference in families and fallouts all the time, and addictions, drugs, drink, lots of money, you know, walking over people to get what you want. But I believe where the person who has empathy and has that hope and has that instinctual preference for a better way of life may explore the darkness out of curiosity, out of self-loathing and self-hate, and find it reprehensible, find it destructive, find that it is like drinking poison that they know they can't survive if they stay in. Then there's a choice that's made. But you will often find an empathic person who has been exposed to darkness at an earlier age, exploring it, rebelling against the narcissist, seeking answers in the darkness, feeling that they're part of the darkness because of the way the narcissist criticized them so much. So if you have explored that side of things and actively chosen to reject it, good for you. It's possible you may develop dark empathy, but it may help you survive future encounters with narcissists, and actually, I hope, make you a better person, because you realize the darkness within you and you realize that it can be tempting at times. And even if you fall off the horse, go back to your home, go back to the light. Don't ever give up on it, because it's not you and it's never going to work for you to live in that life. So do good with your dark empathy and you'll feel a hell of a lot lighter. That's all I can say. Okay, so that's the darkness. Number five, dark empaths are capable of very deep love because they've actively chosen that, you see. That's big to me. They haven't gone through life just, you know, moseying by and loving a little sometimes and just doing the day-to-day things, even though there's nothing wrong with that peaceful and wonderful life. But they've actively had to make a choice between the dark side and the light side. So when they love, they really love very, very deeply, because they're very committed to it. And it is very, very painful if they've chosen to love a narcissist, because they have the ability to really be vulnerable and open up. They love to feel love and to give love and to be within love and to be within light and to experience the human existence in the best possible way. They haven't gotten into love with somebody in order to get their house from them, or in order to get into that person's company, or in order to harvest narcissistic supply, or in order to deeply criticize that other person all the time in the devaluation period, or in order to discard that person very cruelly, or to cheat on that person. That's the narcissist version of love. The narcissist, as opposed to the dark empath who can love deeply, has the ability to hate deeply, disguised as love. That's the fundamental difference on that point. Now, the number six, this is a point that I think is the crux of the difference, or at least it is for me, the crux of the difference between a dark empath and a narcissist, is the ability to be cruel. A dark empath, even if their actions are perceived as cold or heartless in the general terms, when the person doesn't know what they're actually dealing with, it's very, very difficult for a dark empath to be cruel because of the existence of empathy. Now, for a certain period of time, if there is a pertinent reason or a very important reason that they have to take a very, very difficult action that is going to have negative consequences to somebody else, they have the ability to take that action. And that's where they're sometimes described as dark. But don't mess with a dark empath, because you will be shut down. They have that ability because they needed to learn that ability in order to survive. And they saw the dark side, and they saw the extent of the damage and destruction and life-threatening part of the dark side. So they know what they're facing, and they know what they're shutting down. The narcissist is supremely, sadistically cruel as a weapon of power and destruction and control. The narcissist uses the weapon of cruelty in order to get their needs met, in order to bring somebody under control, and in order to hook and enmesh somebody in their own pain. Because as they are the giver of the pain and the cruelty, they become, through isolation and a lot of other manipulations, the giver of the relief of the pain, aka addicting the person to them and being extremely cruel to them and extremely nice to them, in inverted commas. Cruelty, I don't want to wax on too much about this, but cruelty in this life, humans can be so cruel. I can't believe the extent, particularly of animal cruelty. I cannot believe it. And when I actually see it, I can't tell you, the physical effect is devastating. I feel like throwing up. I feel like I can't bear it. It is so painful to think that human beings are so cruel. I actually remember, and I'll get on to these other points now in a minute, and I have a music recommendation I can give you at the end. Just a new piece of music I found. I thought it's amazing. I do remember when I was in school as a young child, we were taught by nuns. It was a Christian Catholic school. And I remember the nuns saying to us in religious class, human beings are more important than animals. And I remember asking, why? And I remember, I think the explanation was, well, humans have consciousness and therefore humans are more important than animals. And I never accepted that and I never got my head around that. And I was told off for not accepting that, saying, you know, we were God's creatures, and to reject that belief was, what do they call that thing when you're, was blasphemous or something like that? That would have been back in the 70s, 60s, 60s, let's say 60s, the late 60s. So that's what we were taught. But I could never accept that as humans, that we were on the higher level, yet we did the lower level things to creatures that were meant to be lower than us. I mean, anyway, so cruelty, to me, cruelty and empathy are the opposites of each other. And cruelty is a predominant feature of the malignant narcissist. And empathy is a predominant feature of empathic people, human beings. So let's get on to the last two, and then I'll give you that music recommendation. I see the podcast has gone on quite a long time. So seven, families. Narcissists use family dynamics to cause dramas and to get their needs met. They use their families as flying monkeys in general. Most of them see the family as a resource, their family of origin as a resource, to say bring somebody into the family and to have the family love bomb the person. There are some narcissists that are not talking to families, etc. They've been pushed out. And that's probably because of their behaviour, even if they sell it to you as they left the family because the family wasn't good. Dark empaths may have problems in families, but their genuine and strong wish is that the family unit will work together as a family. And they're deeply saddened by the fact that it might be dysfunctional. And it often is. If they're a dark empath, there is usually a narcissist hovering around there somewhere, stinking the place out, basically, and generally causing disruption in the family. But the empath is, the dark empath, if you were to ask them, is family important to you? They'd say, totally, the most important thing. The narcissist will use their family for their own gain. Eight, wealth. Do dark empaths like wealth? They have a high degree of narcissism. So they do like wealth because they know wealth gives them power, and they do like power. They're not going to tell you that they don't, because they've been on the other side of what it does when you don't have that. And they know how the world works. They're very practical. The difference between them wanting wealth and the narcissist wanting wealth is, and you'll see this, you know, in public figures. The dark empath seeks wealth, but it will use the wealth to create charities, to donate to good causes, to expand their life purpose. And they will feel greatly validated and feel joyous because they know they've worked to create that wealth that has made a good impact on the world. The narcissist will use the wealth. Oh, they may donate to causes, etc., to get the kudos for the mask being a giver and a good person, but they'll make sure people know that they've donated to good causes. There has to be payback when the narcissist is going to give something away. So basically, the narcissist will manipulate wealth in order to get narcissistic supply, and the dark empath will want to share a wealth from an empathic behavior driver. And the very last one, number nine, and then I'll give you the music recommendation. Number nine is both will fall into addictions. There's a deep understanding in the dark empath of the nature of life, nature of humanity. And because they have a high degree of empathy, they're capable of a high degree of pain. They're also capable of a high degree of introspection and sometimes will go overboard in feeling bad about themselves. And in order to alleviate the sensitivity to the cruelty in the world, will go into an addiction for a period of time. Generally, if they've survived narcissism, they will also overcome addiction. The narcissist may fall into addiction when there's a lack of narcissistic supply. Not through introspection as such, they do feel in the background, the true self feels totally worthless. So if the mask is shattered and they have a narcissistic collapse in particular, they may very well give in to addictions the more than the mask is not protecting them, not protecting the true self. The more the mask is being shattered or mirrors are being held up to it or reality of their behaviours are coming back to haunt them. Like there is kickback, there's payback, they're ruining relationships, they're getting older, they're aging. All of these things can lead them into the darker side of addiction. So there's a difference in relation to why both will enter into the addictive phase. And now, I hope that's ironed out some of the confusion about the similarities between the dark empath and the narcissist, and the dark empath having a very good idea of what's going on in a narcissist's head once they've been through the ringer with the narcissist and studied and learnt why the narcissist did and why the narcissist does what they do. So guys, as part of healing, I'd like to try and introduce a few healing techniques. One of the things I found extraordinarily wonderful, and it has a meditative quality, is to listen to classical music as I'm driving slowly. And any scientists out there, tell me if there is something known, if this is a known thing. But when you're sitting still, listening to sensory stimulation and there's movement, it's as if you're moving in the music as in a stillness within yourself. And I go off into places that I've never been before. I can still drive and concentrate on the road because I drive slowly. The most wonderful places I have experienced, and the most peace and joy. And one of these pieces of music that was composed in 2016, I heard recently, and I found it very emotionally touching and so peaceful. And it was like somebody touched every part of me. So I hope that you will enjoy it in the same way. So the music was called Plan and Elevation by Caroline Shaw, composed in 2016. It's a chamber work for a string quartet, and I believe she has recorded it with the Attachaka Quartet. Attachaka, that's A-T-T-A-C-C-A. I'm probably not saying it right, as I don't say many words right, as you guys know. So that's the quartet that she has recorded it with. And I'll give you the title one more time if you'd like to check it out. Plan and Elevation by Caroline Shaw, 2016, chamber work for string quartet. Also, if you have any music that you find really healing and wonderful, please leave it in the comments. And thank you for listening, because this has been one of the longer, on the longer side of the podcast. Have a blessed weekend, and we will see you again within a 4-day period. If you want more videos from us, interact with the podcast in some way. That's the way the algorithm works. If you like, share or subscribe or comment, they'll generally send you each podcast. They don't otherwise, even though you say you want to be notified of all of them. Thank you for now, and we'll see you again soon.